It's not gonna make it. Okay. Sukkah. Okay, so we're doing a new sugya. Sukkah mem alef amud beis, the Mishnah. Okay, and I guess in the general sense it's gonna be about lechem. So it says yontov harishon shel chag shechal lios b'shabbos. Okay, so if the first day of sukkahs comes out on Shabbos, so you have a little bit of a problem because you're not allowed to carry your lulav. Okay, you're not allowed to carry lulav because Rashi says demirin lakamon docha mitzvah lulav Shabbos yontov harishon levado. So the first day, again, we don't hold this, not nowadays, but back then the first day it was docha Shabbos. Okay, you're allowed to take lulav on the first day on Shabbos. The problem is you can't carry it. So what do you do? So kol ha'omo lichem es l'veim basic nesas l'machras. So everyone, I'm sorry, l'veim basic nesas, everyone would bring it to shul on Erev, Yontif. But now you have a problem. Because the problem is it has to be your lulav. So you can have a shul, you can go to shul in the morning, you have 1,000 lulavs there. So l'machras mashkim u'ba and kol ha'chabach. Everyone wake up early and get there. Kol ha'chabach, shalom. Everyone would recognize his own lulav. And no one take it. M'neisham rucham, and in the middle of the yadich wazabir, yom t'verishon, b'lulav ha'shal chaveiro. You can't use someone else's lulav, right? V'shar yimotz ha'chag, adam yotzei dochaz b'chulav shel chaveiro. But the rest of the chag, you could be yotzei someone else's lulav. Okay? Fine. So in the first day, you have a problem that has to be yours. Other days, you don't have such a problem. Okay. Fine. So let's skip the rest. I think we may have done that once, but whatever. So where's the menon emili? Rashi, so how do you know that you can't be yotze with your friend's lulav? You have to own the lulav. So it said the Tanur Rabbanu v'lakach tam shetehei lekicha biyad kol achabechad. Lakach tam, you, plural, take it, which means every single person has to take it. As opposed to what? You have to, you plural, have to take it. Who wants to do this, right? What would I think? Not everybody would have to take it? So, right. It was on Tosos and Chavtasim Abeis. Tosus said that, explained that the Havamina was, and Tosus Be'inon, he basically said the Havamina would be that your one Lekicha would be good for everybody. Okay, or maybe you need one Lekicha for the whole Klal Yisrael. So Lekach Tem means you, plural, have to take it. Everybody has to take it, as opposed to one Lekicha for all Klal Yisrael. And you'd think somehow it's like Karbanos. Karbanos, you do one Karban for everybody, for the whole Tzibor. So somehow you'd think it's a din, it's a mitzvah of the tzibor, and you do one lekicha for on behalf of the entire tzibor. So lekach tem, it's like, you know, it's a mitzvah for every single yachid. Okay? It's a mitzvah on every yachid. Okay, I mean, so it's funny you'd think that, but that's what it's saying, you would. Okay? Or like Karban Omer or something, certain things you only do, the mitzvahs on the klal. Alright? Okay, fine. But that's besides the point. Okay, further. So now it says, Lachem, yours, Mishel Lachem. From, what do you mean, Lekachtam Lachem? You should say, Lekachtam, Yom HaRishon, you should take. Lekachtam Lachem, you should take to yourself, for yourself, means from your own property. Lahotzi es ha'shol ves ha'gazel. To exclude, borrowed, or stolen. Okay. So mikan amrucham inam yotzei chavasa b'yontov rishon shalchai b'lulav shel chaveiro lmk nasal matana. So you can't be yotzei with your friend's lulav unless your friend gave it to you as a gift. Okay, unless he gave it as a gift. Umaisa b'Rabbi Gamliel. We'll read this gemara here. We'll read a little bit. Umaisa b'Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva. All these rabbanim shayubam b'sfina. They're going on a boat. B'lo yilulav ela Rabbi Gamliel b'lvad. The only one, it was a shortage of lulav that year, the only one who had lulav was Rabbi Gamliel. Shlokhu ba'alav zos. He bought it with 1,000 zos. Okay, so it was a very expensive lulav. No lulav Rabbi Gamliel, v'yotzebo, so he took it, and he was yotzei, v'nasla Rabbi Yeshua, v'matana, and he gave it as a gift to Rabbi Yeshua, not lo Rabbi Yeshua, v'yotzebo, and he, so he took it, v'nasla Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, v'matana, They went in a circle, and then at the end they gave it back to Rabbi Gamliel. Okay. Lomli lemei merchzira. Why does it tell us they gave it back to Rabbi Gamliel? Who cares? Right? You don't have to give it back to the first guy. Just halacha is that when you take it, you have to own it. So it must be that they gave it to you as a gift. But you don't have to then give it as a gift to the first guy. It's a nice thing to do, but why does he want to tell you that? That was part of the story. So it says milsa gavorche kamash malan. It's teaching you something in passing. Matana manas lachzir shma matana. A matana, if you give a gift on the condition that the guy will give it back, give you a gift back, he'll re-gift it back to you, that counts. That's considered a gift, and it works. So that means they gave it back to Rabbi Gamliel, and they had to give it back to Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel, that was part of the terms of the deal, but that's sufficient, that counts for this considering it's yours. Kihada Amar Rava, like Rava says, Heilucha Esrog Zeh Almanash Tech Zireuli. So if I give you, here's this Esrog, on the condition that you return it to me, Nutlo V'yotzebo, he takes it and he's Yotze, Hechziro Yatza, Lechziro Lo Yatza. So if he ends up returning it, then it turns out he's Yotze. If he doesn't end up returning it, so then it turns out he ends retroactively not Yotze. Why? Why? Again, I give you a lulav and I say, here's this lulav on the condition that you return, you give it back to me. So then if you give it back to me, good. If you don't give it back to me, then you're never Yotze. So why? You're right, because those are the terms of the matana. The terms of the matana where it's a gift on the condition that you give it back to me. But if you don't give it back to me, it turns out it wasn't a gift. So it wasn't a gift, it wasn't yours. Okay? So that's matana. So it's saying is that counts. Even though it's, in a certain sense you can argue it's not like really yours, I mean, sort of isn't, teaching you that's good. Okay, fine. Let's do it a little further, why not? Why does that tell you he bought it for 1,000 zoz? Why is that important to tell us part of the story? Who cares? Who cares how much he bought it for? Is that relevant? It shows how much they love the mitzvahs, that he even spent $1,000 on the mitzvah. Okay. He said back, he loved it so much that he actually is talking about loving the mitzvah. He loved it so much that he would daven with it. He'd even hold it during davening. Okay. Meisvei lo yochazon tefillin biyado v'sevetor b'cheiko v'yispal v'lo yashem ha'mayim v'lo yishem ha'mayim v'lo shenis kevah shenis roi. The halacha is you're not allowed to hold the Torah or tefillin in your hands while you daven. V'mashmo sakin ukaro kiko ramos ha're'ilu kiyotziban. You cannot let to hold also money or a knife or a roll. You're not allowed to hold these things during davening. So how you tell me he loved mitzvah so much, he's holding it, but you're not allowed to hold stuff. You're not allowed to fill, you're not allowed to Torah, you're not allowed to hold these things. So it says, no, hasam lav mitzvah ninu. It's hard, bro. The answer is no, those aren't a mitzvah, so therefore the guy is tarred, he's bothered by it. So it takes away his kavana for davening. Hacha mitzvah ninu. Follow tarred, bro. So here it's a mitzvah, so he's not tarred. Okay, the lulav is a mitzvah, so it doesn't distract him. Okay, fine.
Okay. A mitzvah or...
Well, we'll see. It's not so simple because there's a little bit of the mitzvah is also a mitzvah, but beloved mitzvah or something like that. Like let's see Rashi. Lamali lemeimar hechziro ma'an lemeidim echazar azu the yitzrotan hashneim asu. Why do you have to teach us that he gave it back? Hakamash b'ander gamliel amanash hechziro lenasalahem. So you halachi have matan al chiyotzibo. So the case of gamliel was he gave it al matan al manas lahachzir, and still it was a good matan until they give it back. Echziru lo yatsa. If you return it, then you're yotze. The matana al manas lahas. Your matana is a good matana. Echziru lo. He did it. Avlam lo echziru. But if he doesn't return it, lo yimilsa the mikara. God will be other. Turns out retroactively, you stolen. Lomel fine. Have a matzah. Because mispal ha yulav obiyada. May rov chibaso alav. He'd hold it while he was down because he loved it so much. He mispal about. He daven with it. It's funny gemara, right? Yochazad mispal mehtarud. She tarudu b'machshav. Tosh lo yiplu obiyada because he's tarud. Bothered thinking of the whole constraint that he doesn't drop it, vis bazu, that the tefillin will get disgraced. Vein daitim yishevas lo, so he can't have kavanah in tefillah. Okay. Skipping a little bit. Sakin, misyar Hashem yipo, vis kavarango. There's a knife also, he's worried he's going to drop it and will poke him in his foot. A karo malaya, or a plate which is full of stuff. Mo, shalis bazu, you're worried you can lose your money. The kikar Hashem yipo, yinemas, he's worried that if he drops his bread, it's going to get disgusting. Lav mitzvah hu la'ochsan. What does he mean, lav mitzvah? He says it's not a mitzvah to hold it. Because tefillin is a mitzvah. Someone said to hold tefillin. So therefore, having love lamasa. So therefore, it's like a burden. Lefikach tarb masam, v'kaveh lav masam. Therefore, it's bothers for him to hold it, and it's heavy, and he's guarding it. He doesn't take his concentration. But hacha, netilasa ulekichasa mitzvahi. The holding it is a mitzvah. Umitok shechaviva mitzvah alav, and since he loves this mitzvah, in masa v'shimur kaveh alav, therefore the holding it and guarding it isn't difficult for him, v'lo tarah, and he's not bothered. Right? He's not bothered. So is it a mitzvah? But he's yotzei the mitzvah already. Right? It's a mitzvah to hold the lulav, he's already yotzei the mitzvah. So let's read a little bit further. I know I'm reading a lot, but I just want to read it once. So it says, Tanya, Rabbi Elazar said to Gomer, Kachay min hagashal anshe Yerushalayim. This is the way the anshe Yerushalayim, the men of Yerushalayim, used to do. Adam yotzim beisav lulav abiyadu. You walk out of your house in the morning, you'll be holding your lulav. Holech lebeis haknesses, you go to shul, lulav abiyadu, you'll be holding it. Kori kriya shema, mispalo, you'd say shema and daven, lulav abiyadu, you'd still be holding your lulav. Kori v'torah, the nose says kapov. When you do the lane, then you did the kohanim with the duchen, beros kohanim, and ichal gabe kaka. Then they put it down on the floor. Holech levaker cholim. When they went to visit the sick, will nachem avelim and to consult, pay the shiva call. Lulav biyado, they'd still be carrying a lulav. Nichnas beis hamedrash meshagel lulav biyado beno beyad avdo beyad shlufo. When they went to learn, then they sent it home. That already they can't learn well while you're holding a lulav. Okay, Mike Mashmalan, what's the point of telling you that this is Anshe Yerushalayim did? Well, Diacha Kama Hayuz Rizun Mitzvahs, to show you how Zoras they were about Mitzvahs. Okay? Fine. So they're very Zoras and Mitzvahs. But apparently, you see, somehow there's a Kiyum to hold the Lulav more and more of the day. It's not just a one time thing. So that's what I think it means. That's why when he held during davening, it's true as a Mitzvah, it's still a Mitzvah. Okay, fine. So this is basically, again, I just did a lot of stuff, but we'll go back and take up some of these points. Okay? Is there any question here? I'm shot. Is I going too fast? Okay. Okay, so the basic, fine. So we're going to go back now and try to take these things up. So the first halacha that we're doing is the halacha you have to own the lulav on the first day. Okay, lakachtam lachem. You should take it for yourself. You have to own it. Okay. So let me ask you a question. Let's say we're partners in the lulav. What do you think about that? It's a partnership. You think it's good? What?
Still on it.
Still on it. Okay. So look at Tosas. Ela imkein nasnu lo matana. Ube esrog hashutvim nami lo nafik. So if you have an esrog of partners, you're also not yotze. Kedemuchach b'shili yesh nochlem gabi achon shakonu esrog v'tzvises abayis. If you have brothers who like the estate or something bought a lula, an esrog, ilo choshev shelo, it's not considered his. Tosfos, Elaim Kane. And Yotzeba, right? I'm sorry. Ilo choshev shelo, kivan in miyuchad shelo. It's not considered his, even though he owns it, because it's not miyuchad. It's not singularly his. Ela kishol have, rather it's like it's borrowed. In a yotze bo, in a yotze. Okay. So you have a havin oskana here, that whether a partnership works, lulav of partners, asuk of partners. I mean, it would be, sure, why not? Like Danny's saying, own it, wash malon. No. It's not yours because it's not designated singularly for you. Rather, it's like it's borrowed. Okay, and you're not yotze. Okay, umash is a little further, but that's basically the point of the Tosfos.
Even if you were part of the state, still would be yours.
Yeah, because that's like a partnership.
That's part of
the Yeah, that's an example. He's proving it. In that case, you see, they weren't yotze with it, even though they're partners, and they're still not yotze. So apparently, partnership doesn't work. Mm-hmm. He's just proving it from that case.
Oh, okay.
Right? But there's certain communities who can't afford, or there aren't a lot of esrogs. They buy it as a partnership, and they do it. So they do is that everybody is kona to each other. They tell them to make sure that when you give it, that I have das, that anyone can be kona the whole thing. Okay, so therefore it turns out it's like a matana. So therefore at any given point, whoever takes it, they actually own the whole thing. Right? Yesh lismoch the kiwan daknoa manas lotzeis bow. Right, so I forgot to look pierce you. Some of the mills are kilo pierce you dummy. Kim the Nyaka and Yachamats bow. Aye, but who knows that? Did you tell anyone that? No one. Who knows that? They just go and shul. They take it. The shul buys it. They say, but no, because everybody's taking it in order to be yotze, and the only way to be yotze is if you have this condition. So if we say it's tam das, that's what they meant. That's what they meant. They didn't say it, but it's as if they said it. Okay, which is interesting. Interesting that that works. We'll get to that. Okay, but for starters, I think that's our first thing should be is what's this havin maskana about whether partners works. I mean, on the surface, I think Danny would be right. Is that it's yours, you own it. What does he mean? It's not singularly yours. Who cares if it's not singularly yours? And now it's like it's borrowed? What do you mean it's borrowed? How's it like it's borrowed? I'm not borrowing it, I own it. True, it's a partnership, but so what? Right? And also, this whole halacha of lachem is interesting. You have to own it. It's like, what's the deal? The mitzvah is to take lulav. Oh yeah, by the way, you have to own it. I mean, why do you have to own it? What's the relevance of ownership to the mitzvah? Right? Well, it's the difference if you own it or not. Why does owning it have to, you know? It would be like this mitzvah of learning Torah. Oh yeah, but you have to own the sefer. Well, why do I have to own the sefer? What's the difference if I own the sefer and someone else owns the sefer? I borrow a sefer. Who really cares? The point is, I'm learning Torah. So the mitzvah is to take a lulav. So I'm taking a little love. What's the difference if I own it or if I'm borrowing it? Who cares? I'm taking a little love. It's like a funny halacha. Why do I have to own it? What does ownership have anything to do with it? Right? Like, how does that halachically fit? I'm not asking, like, philosophically why. I'm asking halachically. How do you understand that that somehow becomes a condition in the mitzvah? Right? I mean, that's like a general question here. And with that, apparently there's a havin maskana, then once you have that, whether or not this partnership works. And another question, you know, this is kind of a funny question, but Lekicha itself is a funny mitzvah. Funny question, but, like, what, I don't know, there's something bothersome. Like, what's the mitzvah? To pick it up? Like, I don't know. Something sounds like it's, like, almost lacking in substance and, like, in form. Like, what are you doing? The mitzvah is to pick the thing up? Right, I mean, it's just a funny maisa mitzvah. Like a kinyan, you understand that's a maisa, but like that's a maisa mitzvah to pick it up. I mean, yeah, it is. So, I mean, but I don't know. Something's. It'd be nice if you could at least have some sort of an understanding of it, you know? Okay, so Danny's saying good day. So the question is, what's the idea of lacham? Is it pshat that it's a din of like I guess you call like a choshen mishpat ownership? Financially, you have a din of owner of being a, you're an owner, right? You have a din buy limit in the thing, and your little kicha has to be on something which you have a shame baal on. So then you do have a shame baal. Sure, it's a partnership, but a partner is a baal. You're a joint partner, you're a joint owner, but whatever, your owner is an owner. You have a shame baalus. So it's a chosh mish, but that's ownership. Or do you say that it has to be, the ownership is not really a legal, it's not a monetary phenomenon, but it's like, there's a certain idea, like when you own something, you have a certain relationship to that object, which is like what Danny's saying is control, complete control. So it's like shlita, I think is the term, like the Hebrew term, but it means the same thing. So you have a certain shlita, a rulership over the object. So there's an idea that when you're a baal, an owner, you could relate to something like in a business sense, you could have ownership as ownership. You have a certain schus mamon in the thing, monetary schus in it. But there's a certain idea of the way when you own something singularly, you have control over it. It's all mine. There's like, so to speak, the emotion or the feeling, the relationship of an owner. It's mine. I have shlita over the thing. So the saying is that in mitzvahs lulav, we don't care about the technical, schus mamon in the thing, but it has to be that you have a certain relationship to the thing of being exclusively, you have total shlita over the object. You're picking it up is based upon your shlita over the object. And the saying is if you're partners, you don't really have control over the object. it's true, more so than random guys in the world. But essentially, when you use it, it's always under the say-so of your other owner. Even your usage of the thing, I mean, you have to ask him, is he using it now? So maybe you have an arrangement worked out or whatever, but essentially, it's limited. That's what it means. It's like borrowed. It's borrowed because he also has a din mamon on it. So you have to ask his permission or work out an arrangement whereby he lets it. So the picking of the thing up is not the picking up of an owner. Different type of a picking it up. I mean, but even though in a technical legal sense, in terms of your bank account, you have more, you know, it counts halfway as your bank account, who really cares? Right? In a bank account, you own for half of a $80 loaf, the same thing as owning a $40 loaf. It's, you know, ownership is ownership. You have a sus mama. But the thing is, the framework of mitzvah, the ownership, is not measured by the technical legal ownership, but it's measured by like the functional ownership and the relationship that the Baal has to the object. That's not contingent upon technical ownership, but it's based upon demands of Baalus Miyuchadas, like a singularly yours. Right? Okay, that's good. But we still didn't explain what's the idea of Lachan, right? I mean, we're still kind of like taking that as a given and just trying to define what the idea is, you know, what are the choices. But what's the idea of the requirement of Lachan? Right? What's that idea? How's that even like register on the Lakicha? Right? That's still what is outstanding. Well, by the way, another way to ask the question, what's the idea of Lachan? Is apparently the first day you need Lachan, the other days you don't need Lachan. Right? Or like even the Mikdash, or even nowadays, like there's only Lacham. So what's the difference between a Lakicha, which has the property of Lacham, and a Lakicha, which doesn't have the property of Lacham? Okay. Okay, good. So I think it's Danny's the same idea as Danny's saying. It's like, just the basic, what is Netila? What does it mean picking something up? So, generically, picking up is... You're creating a certain relationship between yourself and the object. There's you and there's an object. It's the object sitting on the table. You don't have anything to do with the object. When you do netila, you're creating a relationship between you and the object. What type of a relationship? Like, it's like some sort of a control or subordination. That the object now becomes under your control. It's like it's creating a certain relative relationship between you and the object where it's biyadcha, it's in your hand. It's under your control. So the idea of lakicha is creating that relationship between you and the object. Putting it in your control. Right? It's an action of controlling the object. Creating a relationship of subordination of the object to you. Right? Now, that's the nature of the action. It's an action of creating that relationship. But in when you own it, so it's like, I guess what Matt was saying, the relationship of control already exists, and the action is an expression of the pre-existing relationship. You already have a relationship of control to it, purely based upon your identity as the owner. But now by you picking it up, you're realizing that underlying relationship. Whereas if you don't own it, so you're doing an action of creating a relationship. But the relationship exists totally in the context of the action. There's no greater context in which the relationship exists. It's just an action of creating a relationship between me and the object. An action of controlling the object, subordinating the object to me. So if the action is one of controlling, expressing control over an object, so it's a different type of a control. If the object intrinsically is under my control prior to this thing, then it's an expression of a real relationship. As opposed to, if I don't really own it, so then it's like an action of a control. But it's lacking the underlying reality of the control. It's like the control as relegated to the action. You know, when you own it, it's an expression of an under the action is a different type of a control. Because there's a reality upon which it's based, and your action is just expressing that. You know what I mean? But it's the same idea, it just, so to speak, condensed into the action, when you don't actually own it. So the thing is, on the first day, lakachtem lachem, means it's from your thing, and you're doing a lekicha, you're realizing your relationship to the object. Realizing your relationship. But in the other days, the Darabanan, it's just you're doing the action, which is an expression of relationship, but it's purely in the from the standard vantage point of the action itself. Right? And if you say this, then the idea of the action of lekicha is an action of expressing expressing a relationship. What is the nature of that relationship? You could say the relationship is that of a taiva owner, of a legal owner, or you could say the relationship is one of a controller of the object, of shlita. You know what I mean? Like that's, this is kind of before that, the chakira. But if you say the idea of lacha means that the lekicha has to be an expression, a realization of an underlying relationship to the object, what relationship is that? Is that relationship the one of a monetary owner, that you have zchusei tashmish, you have rights of usage? So then any kinyan is sufficient. Or do you say, no, it's an expression of a relationship of control, of shlita. It's a different type of relationship. A relationship to a thing as an owner, or a relationship to a thing as a controller, of shlita. So that's what it's showing you. The maskana, this the Tosis is showing you, is that the nature of the relationship is not just one of a technical owner to an object, but it's a relationship of control. Kicha means you're creating a subordination, and you're controlling the object, and an expression of that relationship of control. That relationship exists when you're the sole owner. Otherwise, it's like it's borrowed. It's lacking in that relationship. Okay, so that brings us to the next point. Maybe we'll set up for tomorrow, which is that one thing is the Havin Askana about Matan Masahakir. Does it work if I give you a gift and the condition that you'll give it back to me? Okay, does that work? You would say like that or not? So it's not clear from the Gemara. I mean, it says the Gemara is teaching you, because the Gemara teaches you in passing the Matana Manasa Achzir Shema Matana, that's a Matana. Is it teaching you, like, in terms of Dine Mamonis, that that's considered that works in terms of Dine Mamonis? Or no, of course we know that works. That's a halachic principle in Dine Mamonis. But it's just telling you that that's sufficient for Mrs. Lulav. Like, what's the Havamina here? Is the Havamina that wouldn't be considered a Matana? Or is the Havamina that it is considered a Matana, definitely, but the question is, does that type of Matana work vis-a-vis the Mitzvah of Lulav? So I'm not really sure. I mean, simplest reading of it is that it's teaching that it's considered a Matana, but that would be, it's a funny to have that Havamina here, you know? So I think I'm going to learn that specifically then in Lulav. But I can't prove it. Okay? That's one question. The next thing I want to do also is Machlokas, the Rosh. You can look at the Rosh. But the question is whether this thing works. This idea that, remember, like Tosus brought it up. But he says that that even if you have a shul, if you have a whole town who owns the thing and partners, so you could do this, they could all take it. But why does it work? And no one owns it. Oh, but it's Matana Masahak. They're all giving it as a gift to each other. But they didn't say that. He says, no, that's Tandas, that since... Since that's the only way to be able to say, so therefore that's sufficient. That's a chiddush that works. It seems like there's a rishuah going hold that doesn't work. Okay, I mean, if you want to look at the, it seems like it's a machlokes between rishuah going and the Rashbam. Okay, whether that type of thing works or not. Like, how does that work? It sounds like somewhat a little bit of a magical thing that even works. But it's the Rosh. If you want to look at it. So it's on Daf Samachay Amabez. Yeah, I guess if you want to look at it, it's Os Lamed Aleph in the Rosh, basically. Lamed Aleph on page Samachay Amabez. Os Lamed Aleph. It brings down the two sides. So I'd like to find that. Okay, that machlokes. Okay, and then after that, we'll go to this other stuff about how much you love the mitzvahs and that other stuff, you know? Okay, so that should keep us busy for tomorrow.